It's another edition of the APC podcast at AcupackingCompany.com. Alex Patakis, Ben Foldy, and Zach Rapport here with you. Excited to bring you an interesting guest coming up in a little bit on the show today. Jeff Gray will be joining us. He is an undrafted free agent of particular interest because he hails from north of the border, and he played for the University of Manitoba, and is a guy who's generating some buzz heading into this this preseason, camp season, whatever you may want to call it. We're going to be talking to him in just a couple of minutes about his experience playing in Canada, and then eventually getting the call to come to Green Bay, where he participated in rookie camp, which just wrapped up.
Rookie camp. How about that?
Rookie camp.
Rookie camp.
That's glorified orientation.
Yeah, open house.
Of sorts, yeah.
Open house. Freshman orientation.
It seems like what rookie camp kind of feels like. It's I don't know how much you can glean from rookie camp, but there were some interesting things coming out of it, I guess. Just a couple.
Don't know how much you can glean, but oh, the beat writers will try to glean.
I mean, it's their job, man.
Yeah,
you know, I'm never going to get on somebody for writing the "this might be the case in training camp" piece or the "this guy's got a great personality" piece, because, like, what else are you really going to say?
Corporate wants those clicks.
But everybody seems to be interested in the position that Josh Jones is going to play. He was the Packers' second draft choice, and seems like he's kind of a hybrid player. And there's some buzz now coming out of camp that he's going to end up being a linebacker for them.
The money backer.
Money backer.
Do we actually,
does the dollar sign get incorporated like into the position, like on TV now when they're,
that'd be cool.
That would be really cool.
Or
right?
Just like when you're X-ing and O-ing, you just have a dollar sign for the money backer.
Yeah. That would be really cool.
And then like a little elephant. We could have all sorts of, we could just have like a totally emoji based defense.
Is it time to get rid of the actual X's and O's?
Yeah, like, it should just be
when we
just
start
be
talking
emojis.
X's and O's.
I will say this, the game nowadays is a lot more complicated than just X's and O's.
That really checks all the boxes as a sports cliche.
Man, I'm gonna miss draft season because that's one of my favorite phrases that we just throw around.
Ticks all the boxes.
Gratuitously, yeah, during draft time, and
I also love that just
leading up.
You know, nobody could possibly check all the boxes. That's the best part about checking all the boxes.
Yeah, there's got to be one box.
Speaking of
right?
checking all the boxes, yeah, no, yeah. Well, it's like you know, it's like they can't. They got to have something that they're better at or worse at. You can't.
Yeah. Like, does Aaron Rodgers check the blocking box? No. Probably not.
No.
But
or the, like, yeah, tackling post-intercept. I mean, he's probably pretty decent at that just because he's such a competitor.
You know, he made one really famous one against Brian Urlacher, right? So
you know
it's good enough for me. Check that box.
You know who's not checking boxes in the NFL anymore?
Who's that?
Jay Cutler.
He is not. Wait, we didn't even talk about Josh Jones. I appreciate you trying to move us along here, as a good producer should.
Well, wait, what do we have to say about Josh Jones? None of us have actually seen him play in the box.
All right, let me get like a little bit of a takeoff here.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Josh Jones, money backer. What does that mean? Like, I think people, I guess here's the thing. Like, if there's anything you could take from rookie camp, like, you kind of take interest in alignment, because actual play, like during a play, it doesn't really seem like it's worth anything. But also, how much can you put stock in alignment during rookie camp if, like, the guys that are actually going to be playing? Like, I assume Josh Jones is going to be part of their regular rotation of defenders who play a significant amount.
Yeah.
But so most of the guys in camp aren't.
So here's the thing, is that I think the draft capital that they spent on Jones shows that they are anticipating either a scheme adjustment. Like, they didn't draft him to not play. And I don't think they anticipate that either HaHa Clinton Dix or Morgan Burnett is going to not play on most situations. So I think that the logical kind of assumption at this point is that Jones is going to be worked in. You know, one of the things that a lot of people have been talking about this offseason is that the Packers play about 20% in base, right?
Yeah.
Like, they play 20% with three hand-down linemen, two outside linebackers rushing the quarterback, and two inside linebackers. And so, you know, the other 80% of the time, they're in nickel or dime. And that seems to just be the way the NFL is going, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, these kind of
Absolutely.
Mix and match. Like, Jordy's going to be in the slot. All this kind of, like, you know, up is down, black is white.
Positionless defense. Again, I use the Cardinals as an example. That's
a
secondary that has Tyrann Mathieu, Deon Buchanan, and now Buda Baker.
Yep.
None of which fit an actual profile of one defensive back in the traditional sense of corner or safety.
I mean, even David Johnson is almost like that. Like as
another
a, as
side
a
of
draft
the ball,
pick.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
it's like,
it totally is.
So the NFL is kind of moving in that direction, right? And We saw the Packers experiment with that a little last season with playing Morgan Burnett in the box. And I think they liked what they saw. And I think also it's important to note that the Packers got owned by the Cardinals twice. Not owned in the second game, but twice in 2015. And that was Deion Buchanan's rookie season. That was kind of like when this was like just becoming like a thing. And how many athletic tight ends were drafted in the first round this year? Three? Like... Yeah, three.
Yeah. Because you had Howard and Njoku, right? Went to the Browns.
Howard and Njoku and
the one
that the Giants took.
Evan Ingram?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then even then you had like, you know, this is like the highest, this is probably like the best tight end draft in terms of hype ever.
Yeah.
So you see like, the, you know, more and more teams in the league are going to these like athletic pass catching stretch, you know, field stretching tight ends.
For sure.
And like we said last week, too, you know, the Packers ended up in schemes last year where they had Joe Thomas on, you know, a slot receiver. And I don't think they want to do that. And I think Josh Jones is going to be the way that you can not do that.
Yeah. I just think to call him a linebacker or expect him to be like the inside linebacker they've been missing forever seems misleading. And I would say, to your point before, like the draft capital they spent on him is like almost my reasoning for why he's not going to be an inside. Like when they need a run-stuffing inside linebacker, that's not what he's there for. Like, no. I think we get obsessed with like position changes and guys who could do multiple things, and we really like that. But I just look at him ultimately as Morgan Burnett's replacement.
But I don't think that's what, I mean, are they really, I don't think people are saying he's going to be an inside linebacker a la.
But like there was some like final, Benitez. Like he might be the inside linebacker that they've been wanting. Like that was like kind of the stuff.
That seems to be pushing it. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, to which I would say they don't want that inside linebacker. Justice threw out on Twitter, it was actually in a back and forth conversation with, again, we always say my buddy Josh, who El Gato Grande, but the E at the end is a three on Twitter. I threw that Twitter handle out because
it's part of our
new sponsorship deal. So I'm going to Venmo charge him every time we throw out his Twitter handle. $1 coming our way. You could sponsor us.
The gig economy.
For a price that you feel comfortable. Just hit us up at theapcpodcast@gmail.com if you would like to sponsor our show in some form. We'll say whatever we want.
Just send me food.
We sell ourselves for whatever. But anyway, he threw around the term slot safety, which I thought was interesting. Again, this was in a back and forth conversation saying that like, that's kind of what Woodson was. I guess that's kind of what Hyde was. Like, you wouldn't limit him to a slot corner.
I don't
think
of him as Hyde, though. Like, that's the thing. Is I don't think he's going to be Hyde. And I think like, that was, like, the first take a lot of people had. He's like, he's listed as a safety, but he's going to play corner in the slot. And I was like, I don't really think that's what they're going to use Josh Jones
for. I think there might be a chance that they don't really know what he's going to be yet. And they're, like, kind of excited. And, like, we're all just kind of excited to find out. Anyway, I'm excited to find out how Jay Cutler is in the booth. So that was the other big story Josh or Zach was trying to get us to. That Jay Cutler is now going to be the replacement for John Lynch. They tried to get Tony Romo to be that on Fox Sports in the booth on Sundays. I'm actually like almost like unnecessarily excited for this. And I think that the people like started to shift and realize that there is some personality to Jay Cutler. As much as he was a punching bag when he was the Bears quarterback.
He definitely has a butt.
Yep, he's definitely got one of those.
Hey-o.
His magic
is real.
I think like the expectations, because he just seemed like such a D-bag during his playing days, are going to be so low, and he's going to surprise some people. I'm like really excited to have Jay Cutler be a likable figure for me.
I heard a snippet of an interview that he did, like just calling into a radio show and talking about it, and he was so nonchalant, like, typical Cutler, like, yeah, I guess that's what I'm doing. It just got me so excited to see what he's like in a professional
Did it happen
capacity.
To be from SiriusXM's NFL radio?
I don't know. I don't remember the source.
I mean, the really scary part is that, you know, in 3 years, he'll take over the Buffalo Bills if he follows the John Lynch.
Yeah, I know, right? Or actually, no, I think it was the Fox Sports radio interview where they asked him about, like, you know, like still being in football, and he literally was like, well, you know, it's cool because now... and I am paraphrasing, but this was his point. Like, you don't really have to do anything during the week, but you still get like the excitement of Sundays. He's like, maybe on Thursday, you know, you throw on the film. He was literally just downplaying the preparation that some guys like who really take themselves seriously like to say, like, oh, man, yeah. I got two games this week. You know how hard it is to prepare? Imagine if Bill Belichick was preparing for two opponents in one week.
He's not a Gruden grinder.
No, he's not. He's a guy who might just show up on Sunday and maybe produce magic in the booth.
That's how I talk about myself as a podcaster. So I'm like, yeah.
I think it was Lindsey Wolfe from NFL Network who said something like, Jay Cutler is basically behaving like the guy from Office Space. He's just like, I don't really like work. I'm just not going to go anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will look forward to him being like covering a Packers game and having to talk about Martellus Bennett.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Or vice versa. Like,
I think the first game I think they've already announced the first game that he's going to be assigned to. And I want to say it was a Bears game, which seems just way too easy and obvious. But yeah. They do that, though. Like, John Lynch was on a lot of Buccaneers games, and I don't think that was by accident.
But there was also a lot of change between the team, wasn't there? Like, it wasn't like John Lynch. Did he go straight from the field to the booth? I don't remember.
There might have been a couple of years in between. It's one thing
to go back and comment on the team that you literally were on last year, that the personnel turnover is like pretty, you know, John Fox is still there.
Totally.
Like, that's pretty intense.
It's way more interesting. And again,
except it's the NFL, so it won't
be
interesting at all.
Like, I wonder what he'll have to say about the people who publicly like ripped him as a teammate too. Like, that's kind of fun.
And it's the NFL, so he won't get to say any of it. Like, that's the really, you know,
yeah,
like,
I guess.
I mean, I don't know.
My not so hot take about the whole thing is that I'm prepared for him to be better than Tony Romo at broadcasting.
Well, that was the other thing, is I'm wondering if Tony Romo did a screen test, was he bad? And, you know, was Jay Cutler notably better? Because I feel like if I were a network, I'd be like, oh, hell yeah, I want Tony Romo over, you know,
yeah.
Jay Cutler.
I think CBS actually just outbid Romo. I think what happened, I'm pretty sure this was reported, that Fox would not offer him the number one gig because they weren't going to get rid of Aikman.
Mm-hmm.
And CBS was willing to get rid of Sims and bump him from their A team mm-hmm. for Romo. So you just go with the highest bidder. Because Cutler is like part of the number two squad.
So
like when Joe Buck is like doing the World Series, yeah. then like that's when I think Tom Brenneman steps in, and then Jay Cutler will have a new partner because he's on the B team. You know
got
what
it.
I mean? But there's no messing with the A team.
Yeah.
The other thing I liked too, we were trying to come up with good ideas for like Jay Cutler pregame segments, which sucks that he's not going to be in the studio because he's not, you know, like if he was part of the pregame show, like how they did, you know, they do all these, like, Randy Moss gets his own segment, like, You Got Moss, and it's just, like, him doing whatever the hell he wants. Charles Woodson, does Woodson have a segment on Monday Night Countdown? He should. But the easy winner, like, immediately was just have Jay make his picks. Hey-o.
Hey-o.
Jay's God.
Interception
God,
humor.
Yeah.
I think there's funnier jokes.
Poor guy.
There. But I threw it out on Twitter, and that's what came back right away, and it was concise and to the point. But anyway, we are excited to talk to Jeff Gray. He's an undrafted free agent. The Packers have a track record of hitting on those. He's an offensive lineman, which is interesting because this was a draft we thought they may invest in that position. They only took one offensive lineman, but they love their versatile guys. And Gray happens to be a guy who seems like he could play multiple positions. Oh, yeah, by the way, he didn't play college football in the United States. He didn't take your traditional path. So we're excited to hear how you end up from the University of Manitoba to the Nitschke Field there, participating in rookie camp. Or actually, technically, I guess they go inside for rookie camp because it's not open, so it's the Don Hudson Center. Just for all you fact-checkers out there.
Womp,
we're trying to be more professional around
yeah,
here. anyway, let's get Jeff Gray up in here and learn about his path to the Packers.
The number you dialed is
Acme Packing Company.
Excited to talk to Jeff Gray. He took an, I guess, somewhat unusual path to the Green Bay Packers. Undrafted free agent out of the University of Manitoba, and he joins us now on the APC podcast. Jeff, congratulations on making it to the Packers, and thank you for making time with us. I'm curious, because I know they always televise it during the draft and guys getting the call. Like, what was the moment like for you when you were signed? Just kind of put us there with you as you learned that you'd be headed to Green Bay.
So it was a little bit stressful because it did come down to free agency. So as the draft was going on, my agent was on the phone with a couple different teams. I was talking to a couple different teams, and we're just kind of trying to decide where to go. I had a couple offers on the table from a few different teams. So I am very happy with my decision to sign with Green Bay. And that was the team I wanted to sign with going into the weekend. But when it comes down to it, you kind of have to pick and make a major life decision. So it is a bit of a, even if both are good options, it's kind of a little tough to pick sometimes, so kind of made the decision, and then it was just kind of a bit of a relief to be done with it.
Do you mind if I ask who the other teams were?
San Francisco, they were kind of pushing hard at the end, but a few other teams were kind of on the table, but I'm not really sure of the exact details of the offers of the other ones.
So, I mean, there's a few things there that kind of would be interesting to American sports fans, just because the NCAA is so harsh about any kind of like professionalization before. So in the Canadian collegiate athletic or U sports, like how early were you allowed to retain an agent? Did that like affect your eligibility or anything like that?
I don't believe there is any rule on when you can or cannot sign with an agent.
Okay.
To my knowledge, it is definitely the Canadian university sports. It's not like the States where it's as big of a, the business side isn't nearly the same. So like the crowds aren't as big and just kind of the marketing and all of that. That's nothing like it is down there. So on that end, it is very different.
That also makes me wonder, did you ever think about going to the States to play college football or no?
I never seriously considered it. When I was deciding which Canadian school to go to coming out of high school, I was like someone from a smaller school and somewhere in North Dakota that kind of talked to me once at this Canada Cup thing, but it was never something I seriously considered or pursued.
Got it.
So I read at BlueBombers.com, Ed Tate is the guy who wrote it. So I read like you learned you're going to the Packers, right? But there's got like some paperwork to figure out there. And I read a cool story about you having some issues with your scanner. So like take me through like what happened. I imagine like you just like you get the call, you get an offer, and it's like we'll figure it out later. But are you literally scrambling to get like your paperwork scanned in before like, an offer is pulled off the table? Like what happened there?
No, thankfully it wasn't time sensitive or anything like that. So it was just I got emailed over the contract, and then it was just supposed to sign it electronically, and then that wasn't quite working out how I thought it was. It wasn't kind of going as I planned, so then I was printing it off and trying to scan it, and the page numbers on there weren't the actual page numbers on the document, and then it wasn't wanting to connect to scan in. But thankfully, it wasn't a time-sensitive thing. The funny thing about that was I actually got a guy a couple days later messaged me on Facebook as a printer salesman in Winnipeg saying, congrats on the Packers and everything, but by the way, I sell commercial printers and offer on-site support, so that was kind of funny.
Did you actually buy a new one?
I haven't bought a new printer yet, no, but that might happen sometime down the road when I'm back.
It seems like a bad investment, right? Like, I think football is one of the only places where you still need either, like so National Signing Day, you still have to fax in a letter of intent in the United States. I don't know how that is in Canada. That seems archaic. Like, why can't we use DocuSign or, like, something like that and do this digitally? Like, football seems very behind the times with that. It's kind of
you don't
BS.
You don't own a beeper?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they just want the whole kind of televised portion of signing the paper and kind of takes the excitement and whole awe and kind of spectacle away from it when you're just filming some guy sitting in a computer clicking sign.
Yeah, definitely. So have you talked to Ted Thompson? Like, do you get a call from him or did you talk to him for the first time at rookie camp?
I had met him briefly when I was in on my visit there, and then I didn't hear from him the day of the draft. It was kind of hectic and everything going on. But then, yeah, when we went to sign I officially signed the contract, I guess, when I was there for a rookie weekend. But you still have to wait for the visa and stuff to come through before it's really all official and all that.
So when you did your visit, and I know the Packers were at your pro day too, how much do the Packers kind of try to sell you on their success rate with undrafted free agents or later round picks or anything like that? Like how much does that kind of impact your decision on where to sign?
The visit definitely impacted my decision on where to go, and it definitely made me more familiar with it. They brought it up to some extent, but it's just kind of something that you know, like they're a very stable organization and consistent year to year. So, and I was aware going in, like they have a good track record of developing guys And just that comes with having the stable organization and all the support around it and kind of being a more like one of the top tier teams. They can take time to develop people and they're not always looking to draft someone that they need right now. So that weighed into my decision for sure.
So speaking of development, is it all right if we switch a little to some like kind of more field specific questions?
Yep, go for it.
So, I mean, obviously there's going to be some big transitions from the Canadian to the American game. I mean, take that as a broad concept. What is like jumping out at you as like, I need to work on this. I've never done this. I need like, what's under your pillow when you go to bed at night? Like, is it like blocking 101 or like zone blocking or what's kind of like
the biggest
It's
challenge?
Really a combination of a whole bunch of little factors all at once. It's not one specific thing. It's just like all of the things, the fundamental things that make you successful as an offensive lineman in Canadian football will carry over to American football and make you successful there. But just the fine details of it, the angles for stuff is different. So, like, I had done a lot of zone run concepts in college in Canada, but the timing for your zone double teams, you would be used to making your decision whether you're sticking on the down lineman or climbing to the linebacker after, say, your third step mm-hmm. more often than not, whereas now it's happening on your first step because they're closer, but also the linebackers are in a bit of a different position and just people are lined up in different spots, so the angle is slightly different, so you're going to be stepping slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same principle, right? Like you need to have quick feet, sound feet, and everything like that, but you're just stepping 2 inches off to the right or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just all of those little things all at once on every play. And just also a big thing is getting used to the different defensive styles and different offensive styles, the formations between Canadian and American football. It's not just, hey, you just scratch one person off the field. It changes where the linebackers align and stuff like that
mm-hmm.
and just kind of the formations. And then from the formations, the cues you look for and to kind of get a sense of what like the defense is going to do post snap, the people you're reading to get that cue is different. And the tells are a bit different. So it's just a whole bunch of little things all combining along with playing at an even higher level where you have to be mentally on the ball and just doing it without thinking. No matter how good you are athletically, like that's the big thing is like you need to be needs to be an instinct, not a think about it and then do it and you're already too late.
Yeah. I mean, is that like talking about like reading on your step? Like, is that something that became like perfectly evident in rookie camp? Because we think of it like these guys are in shorts and T-shirts and like how much can you really glean from it? And I'm wondering if like you are sitting there like, wow, this really is so much faster. Imagine when we have pads on.
Well, I did get a bit of a taste for it with the East-West Shrine game. I played in that, so I was in pads then, and obviously it is going to be an even further step up to the NFL, but I did play a game, at least, of American football before. I think it's not so much putting on the pads that will be the difference between training camp and the rookie camp. It's going from kind of like a half-line limited, like you're not really running plays against the defense. So when it comes to like a full scale offense, defense, and making all those adjustments on the line and stuff. So when you have to think about more what's happening conceptually on the play, then your feet have to be coming naturally to you. You can't think about them as well. So just the more things that have to change, the harder it becomes.
Do the Packers kind of talk about their plans for you? I mean, I heard you mention development. I think it's probably unlikely that you kind of step into the starting lineup this season. I mean, what
for sure? Yeah.
So what have they talked to you about moving inside, for example, or do you have like a sense of kind of what the master plan for your development is at this point?
I haven't had anything like explicitly laid out. I think it's just gonna. A lot of it's going to depend on how well I do through training camp and how much I can learn now. In terms of position, like I've mostly played guard when I was at the Shrine game, which was the only time I've played American football before. But at rookie camp there, I was playing guard as well as tackle, and then I've worked on snapping as well. So hopefully that's more going to be a later down the road once I'm more comfortable with the American football side of it. Then we'll worry about transitioning to playing center as well. It's kind of too much all at once, working on snapping, the reading the defense and everything, as well as the just everything being different. So I don't know. We'll just see what position seems to be the best fit. But, yeah, really just see where things go as I get more practices in.
Do you worry about – you're a pretty tall guy, right? And do you worry about that playing inside at all, or do you feel pretty confident in your flexibility and – all that?
Yeah, I have pretty good flexibility, and I've never really had a problem bending the knees, getting low, or anything like that. I think I'm comfortable playing inside. It's not something that I would really, really worry about at all.
So one of the things, and we're talking with Jeff Gray here on the APC podcast, one of the things that we've heard, just like coaches throw this around, is that rookie camp, it's kind of just like an orientation. It's about learning how to be a pro, right? It's like, you know, knowing where things are. Like, is it, what else, like, take us through what rookie camp actually is, even just off the field. Is it like, here, guys, here's the cafeteria. When you're hungry, like, you can come here, and here's some equipment, and here's, you know, our trainer. Like, here's where you can find them.
Here's Red Batty.
You know, it just seems like it would be almost not that different than like a college orientation, except, oh, by the way, you also have to like step onto the field and prove that you're worth an invite to training camp.
Yeah, that was kind of a good way of putting it. It's a massive facility, and you kind of need to know where things are, and kind of takes a bit of time to get used to it. And they had to get everyone fitted with equipment and stuff, and just kind of lay down ground rules of how they expect some stuff. So it's a lot to take in one weekend. There's things just aside from football that you have to remember, and then they do some of the player engagement meetings as well. So just a lot. It is a big transition, but like it is also just logistically you have to get the lay of the land, know where you're going, and kind of it's just you can see people getting more comfortable as the weekend went on. But it is, like you said, just a lot of orientation. Where things are, I was kind of joking that you almost need colored lines painted on the floor like a hospital or something, because it's all the walls are painted the same, and you're looking for your meeting room, and you think you can get back from a different way, thinking it's quicker, and yeah. End up where you started from and stuff.
Wait,
like that.
I could have sworn that was near the Vince Lombardi poster, but there's another Vince. Like, where do I go? There's only, you know, 1,000 of those around.
Did anybody talk to you about the bicycle tradition? I'm wondering.
They kind of touched on it a bit when we went on a tour of the stadium. That's what one thing we did at the end of the last day there. So we kind of went on the standard Lambeau Field tour. But
do they let you run out of the tunnel like they do for like the kids? Like, here's what it's like to run out of the tunnel on the tour.
Yep. So we just kind of saw some stuff, and yeah.
And then, so do you kind of secretly hope that some kid shows up with a unicycle to training camp?
I was kind of joking about that. it would be pretty neat and kind of make some fun of it.
I guarantee
there has to be one person in Green Bay with a unicycle.
Somebody will do it. I promise.
That's going to happen.
We don't have a deep. We don't have the widest listenership, but something. We'll make it happen.
So for those who may not know, there's a video of you. This was at your pro day.
Yeah, it was after my pro day.
After your pro day, riding a unicycle, and I'm wondering, like, and it was pretty brief, but what's like your level of confidence that you would make it from the locker room to the practice facility, like one shot on the unicycle? Like, is that doable?
Yeah, it's not that far. It's like it'd probably only be like 3 minutes or so to ride over.
Okay.
I've been riding it for a while, and I've rode it down some rougher terrain than that before, so.
I like it. All right, so a seasoned unicyclist. Is that, I don't even know that's how you say it. All right, now put a 5-year-old on your shoulders. Are you still confident?
On the shoulders would be pretty hard. Piggyback, maybe. We'll see.
Piggyback.
I don't want any injuries before, but
no, of course not. Of course not.
You don't want to be the guy who crushes the 5-year-old.
No, no, that would go from good press to bad press real quick. So.
8-year-old. No, I'm just messing around. So what's the rougher terrain you've ridden the unicycle on?
Manitoba's rough, man.
Yeah, I rode down like hills, jumped off of stuff.
Wow.
This was all when I was a lot lighter. I haven't done as much since with football and all that, and it's kind of that'd be a hard injury to explain to your coach. So I haven't done anything too daring on it in the last 4 years or so, but yeah, just kind of like down bike trails and stuff like that.
So do you have a no like off-road unicycling provision in your contract? Like a lot
I didn't have anything specially written in, but I feel like it would be kind of just under the and other kind of general
it's common implied.
Sense clause. But yeah. I don't know. After they see it, you never know. It could change.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, thank you. We really appreciate you taking the time. And also, I just wanted to be clear, you were drafted in the CFL as well?
Yep. So it was kind of hectic timing of it all. The CFL draft was the Sunday night of the rookie camp. So I flew home Sunday morning, got in one-ish in the afternoon, and then the draft was that evening. So I got picked by the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, my hometown team, in the 8th pick.
So that's like your fallback plan is to, you know, be a high draft pick in the CFL playing in your home. Like, that's not bad.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's really got all my bases covered. So it's kind of it's nice that they picked me because they've been, well, all of the CFL has been, but especially them have been really good about the whole between like the NFL and the CFL. And it's kind of, like, they want to, they have the best interest of their team in mind, but also they want me to be successful too. So, like, what's best for their team is, yeah, that I come and play for them, but they, as football coaches and stuff, like, they want to see me do well and play as well as I can down here. So,
did anyone in the Packers organization tell you that you wouldn't be the first successful Winnipeg Blue Bomber with the Packers?
No, I actually, Steve Morley, I actually talked with him before I went down to the Shrine Game and stuff because my CFL agent was his CFL agent.
Oh.
So, and then he was with the Packers for a bit.
I was thinking of John Ryan, actually.
Ooh, another one.
John Ryan, the punter, was a Blue Bomber who became a good Packer and is now still a good, I think, like, maybe even a Pro Bowl punter on the Seahawks.
And he also threw a touchdown pass on a fake against the Packers in the NFC Championship game. So now we don't like John Ryan.
No, we still love John Ryan. He's the Ginger Wolverine. And are you, and so what's looking ahead for you? Are you spending the summer in Green Bay? Are you sticking around?
I'm going to be back and forth a bit. So I'm coming down for the OTAs and stuff, this weekend, and then I'll be down for a bit, and then I'll have to come back for sure anyways at some point, cause I'll have to re-enter under my visa once that comes through. So I'm going to be paid, be able to get paid and all that. So I'll be kind of back and forth a couple times.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Is there any, like you go to OTAs, right, and then the whole team is there. Is there any, not nerves in a sense of competing, but just, like, excitement to, like, meet some of these guys? Or did, like, for someone, like, did you grow up watching the NFL? Like, you hear guys like, oh, man, you know, I grew up watching Aaron Rodgers, and now I'm going to meet him. Or you're like, yeah, you know, it's exciting, but it's not like you grew up idolizing American football
players.
Yeah,
I never really watched... I watched a little bit of NFL football growing up, but not extensively. And yeah, like, I don't know. You're going to want to block the guy from across from you no matter what. Like, you can't really worry too much about who's behind you. Like, yeah, the expectations are pretty high, and he is a high profile guy that, like, you don't want to screw up. But, like, at the end of the day, your job is to block the person across from you. So it's not like you're going to purposely try and do anything different.
Yeah. Of course, yeah. Well, look, there's been some really, really well-liked guards in Green Bay, and we're definitely rooting for you to become, like, the next in line of fan favorites that we latch onto. So best of luck. We really appreciate you hopping on with us, and look forward to hearing or reading your name in the practice reports that we're all glued to all summer. It should be a lot of fun.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
You too.
Can I just real quick make a correction?
You may.
From the interview there. Ben, I hate to blow up your spot.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, you said John Ryan was the Ginger Wolverine, and that is definitely Tim Mathay.
Oh, he
was
God
the,
damn it.
Yeah. He's the OG.
John Ryan is also ginger a Wolverine. Ginger.
I know.
Is he?
Yeah. This isn't fair, Green Bay.
Yeah. Come on, too many redheaded. Hey, I can relate.
Got this John Ryan bright is orange definitely beard. A ginger.
He is, but the Wolverine was the nickname for Mathay.
Because he... was a Michigan Wolverine?
I don't think he was, no. I just think that was just like
why
a thing.
Why did I think John Ryan was the... Okay. I mean, look, all right, can we just... All right. Look at this guy and tell me that he is not the Ginger Wolverine.
All right, yeah. Yeah, nice handlebar mustache there.
Seriously?
Really exciting for the listeners here who can't see this. But
good stuff from Jeff Gray, though. We do wish him the best of luck. Seems like an interesting guy. I'm rooting for a unicycle at camp.
Yeah, totally.
Obviously, no injuries or anything. Maybe the kid could walk alongside, but that'll be fun. So we appreciate him hopping on with us. We would be remiss not to mention that one of the arguably the biggest headline, like Packers related, this past week since we last came on into the podcast was Bob McGinn hanging it up and semi-retiring, or I guess fully retiring, even though like it's kind of pretty much understood that there'll be McGinn byline soon. But
think
retiring
pieces.
To,
McGinn think pieces.
Retiring to Michigan?
Yeah, back to
Michigan.
Yeah, back to Michigan.
And
upper or lower?
I think lower.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually.
Is he a Michigander?
Yeah, he's from is he from Escanaba? Where's he from?
Well, that's upper.
No. Yeah, he's from upper Michigan.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
So that explains the Packers then, I guess.
So the Journal Sentinel has got I guess a big hole, obviously, with Bob McGinn, who was
whatever. That's like the conglomerated USA Today, Journal Sentinel, everybody, PackersNews.com.
Gannett, I think, was involved in there somehow. But Bob McGinn is retiring. He was, I think pretty much like widely considered like the go-to Packers guy, certainly a go-to draft guy. I'd be shocked if there's not some McGinn draft stuff at some point next year. But you guys, certainly much more than me, like having grown up in Wisconsin, I've probably been reading McGinn way longer.
Oh yeah. Bob McGinn is football for me.
Yeah. Bob McGinn and I don't know, say what you will about some of the takeier pieces in the last few years that maybe I didn't necessarily agree with. I always appreciated his writing style. I think really he is a poet in a world of many lesser writers, especially in the click-driven content world that we live in. But also, Bob McGinn pieces dating back to like my teenage years and my 20s. Really sort of served to like strengthen the bond between me and my dad watching football and talking about football. And so for me personally, his writing has meant a lot, and sad to see him go.
Yeah. I mean, nobody did the draft like McGinn, right? Like I think even in the larger PFWA fraternity, McGinn is kind of like a legend of the game.
Yeah. And I tweeted this out, but I have fond memories of draft day, my dad traipsing down the stairs with an old journal newspaper with the Bob McGinn like top 100 players.
Yeah, always the top 100, and always like what the scouts say.
And he stuck the landing on the way out with Kevin King, right? He nailed that pick again.
Yep. Nailed it.
A couple years in a row. Kenny Clark.
He got Kenny Clark. I don't know if he got 2015.
I'm not sure if he did either.
It was Ha-Ha, right? No, it wouldn't have been Ha-Ha. It would have been Demarius Randall.
Yeah. Don't know if he did, but whatever, man. You can only be right so many times. As much as he is right, it's impressive in its own right.
Yep.
So anyway,
I pour one out for you, but this is not my house, so respecting Ben's kitchen.
Yeah.
Don't pour anything on my floor, please.
Yes. Cool. Noted. Should we hit the polka and get up out of this bitch?
Language.
I don't know why I keep saying that. Thanks to everyone who listened. Thanks to Jeff Gray for joining us. If you want to reach us via email, theapcpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to leave us an iTunes review, please do so. They are certainly appreciated.
Subscribe. Steal your girl's phone. Subscribe on that.
There you go. That's your best Justice Mosqueda impression.
No, not in... No.
But yes, obviously subscribing via iTunes will help us as well. Interact with us however you can on Twitter. At Zach Rapport now.
Yep.
We've shed Outside Slant. It still takes some getting used to for me.
Sorry.
I will say. I know it's been a little bit of time. But at Ben Foldy, at the APC pod.
Correct.
Not at, podcast.
No.
The podcast Twitter handle. Slowly but surely. Picking up steam.
We've like tripled our followers since we last put out the APB. So we'll send out... We'll send out a link to the show via that. If you could, if you are following, hey, why don't you retweet the show link, get it into your pool, spread the Packers love, and we'll try to get some more listeners aboard the SSAPC pod here.
And yep. you can get Alex at Alex Patakis.
That's right. Hey. You can get me there as well.
You got enough followers.
Complicated to spell, but I feel like figure it out.
Twitter's
just follow the podcast account, and then there'll be a tweet from me somewhere in there.
One thing that I will say for the Donald Trump era so far is that it's kind of breaking down the walls of, like, football Twitter is now politics Twitter is now, like, you know, civil rights Twitter is
there's
now...
There's no stick to anything.
Yeah, there's no, like, everybody is everything, and it's kind of amazing. I saw Kenny Stills liked a... some political post yesterday, and then Frank Clark put his foot in his mouth. Man, oof. What a jerk.
I don't even... that was a fellow... No, it was Bleacher Report. I was going to say it was a fellow SB Nation blog, but it was I believe it was Bleacher Report.
It doesn't matter.
The Frank writer Clark who wrote about domestic violence and what I thought was a really good piece that I also believe was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So I don't know where Frank Clark got off just ripping her and kind of bullying.
Yeah,
just being someone for doing
general dick,
pretty thoughtful journalism. But anyway, maybe we'll talk to Mina about that.
And we didn't draft Joe Mixon.
Yeah, as we dig into Seahawks hate, as we creep closer and closer to Week One.
Speaking of the Seahawks, we will soon have to talk about the upcoming Packers schedule, and we will soon have to talk about OTAs, and we'll soon have to talk about all that fun stuff.
Yeah,
so
we'll try to get some more player interviews too. Tex Western's working on that.
You know,
for
if you
us,
manage
so
to have a radio dial on your computer, don't change it.
There you go.
And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Catch you next time. Yeah. ABC Podcast. We're out.